Hello, my darlings. You are listening to Healing in Doses, a place for bite-sized nuggets of healing magic provided one spoonful at a time. It is your loving and illustrious host, Siobhan, owner of Sweet Immunity. Super excited to be back for yet another episode of Astro Ramblings. I spent a lot of time on astrology because astrology is the healing medicine of the moment, baby. We got to get that energy down before we even think about employing any other methods to heal and dig deep into what we are trying to heal and protect for ourselves and for our future. So I love leveraging astrology as healing medicine because I think it has a profound impact on how we see the world. And so as you have been doing probably, I've been immersing myself in this long hiatus, immersing myself in the very depths of each and every transit that you all have been immersing yourselves in as well. So our Saturn and Uranus squares, our various eclipses, our retrogrades and air signs, all of that good stuff that we talked about in past and previous episodes. However, I could not go any further into Cancer season without highlighting one of the most delicious transits to come in 2021. First and foremost, happy Cancer season. Happy birthday, Cancer. You get the privilege, my Cancerians, you get the privilege of hosting. You are playing host. You are the hostess with the mostest. You are the host with the most for this magnanimous conjunction that we have occurring between July 12th and July 13th in the sign of Leo. So no, Cancers, you don't get to host it in your house, but you get to host it somewhere in the neighborhood. Now, we are going to see Venus and Mars merge at 19 degrees. They will be in conjunction to each other at 19 degrees, and they will be merging together in the sign of Leo, a sign that each one of those planets loves, adores for very different reasons, but it all notes and highlights the harmony that each one of them will not only feel in the sign of Leo, but will feel for each other, right? Just like any other relationship that you're in, when both of you are comfortable, the relationship is comfortable. When both of you are happy, then the relationship is happy. When one of you is miserable, that doesn't help, right? That doesn't do anything good for either one of you. And so the fact that both Venus and Mars have equal yet different reasons to be happy and joyous in the sign of Leo only help to enhance this conjunction even further. When we're looking at the Mars and Venus conjunction, or the Venus and Mars conjunction, however you'd like to say it, we are looking at two planets that are the cosmic lovebirds of the zodiac. They are the yin and yang of the zodiac. They enjoy each other. They are frequently seen together. They get married all the time. They merge in the sky quite often. And when they come together, they usher in a 2-year cycle that involves a very different approach to partnerships, to money, to sex, to security, to leadership and courage, to aggression and assertion. It ushers in a new 2-year cycle for how we navigate those realms of our existence in a very different way each time. Having Venus and Mars conjunct in Leo is not just important because they're together and they're sharing this one point in the sign, but because we haven't had them in a fire sign since around 2013 through 2015. So that 2-year cycle that actually kicked off with them in Aries was the last time we had these two planets in a fire sign dynamic, activating other fire signs within your chart. And based on the fixed nature of Leo, it will also be activating the houses that house your fixed planets and your fixed signs. So we are not just going to see an activation within Leo, Aries, and Sagittarius, but we will also see an activation within Leo, Aquarius, Scorpio, and Taurus. Now, as you know, because you all are brilliant and beautiful astrologers, you know that the fire sign activation will be by trine. And so that energy is going to be easy flowing and just like that infinity sign. It's reflective, it's reciprocal, it's easy, it's dynamic, it's just comfortable. Whereas the aspects by square to all of the other fixed signs that this conjunction may or may not touch upon in your chart, that will be where the tension or the crisis of consciousness will exist. Good things and great things come out of crises, so it's not something for you to be scared of. If you have planets in the fixed signs or if you have a fixed dominant chart, but it is something for you to know that much of your decision-making around the Venusian and Martian qualities will have a decision-making component to them. You will be asked to make a choice. You will be asked to decide. You will be asked to put your foot down. You will be asked to step up to the plate in areas that you may not always want to step up. You will be asked to rethink areas in those respective houses because they all will be pulled in to this particular point if you have fixed sign planets or if you have planets in these fixed sign houses. That's a better way to say it. And so for all other signs, my mutable and my cardinal signs, again, if you have as a cardinal, if you share Aries, and as a mutable, if you have planets in Sagittarius, you will have a much more personal relationship to this transit. But if you tend to be mutable in all other areas aside from this one, you'll still feel it. But you'll just feel it in that Leo governed house that is probably one that you overlook a lot. If you have an empty Leo house for whatever reason, it may not be a house that you pay attention to until something arrives there. And what a aspect to arrive, right? If there's anything that would come of that empty Leo house, this is a good place to start. And so if it is empty, it will be empty no more. And if it is something you overlook, it won't be easy to overlook it for the next 2 years because there will be some continuous dance and relationship between the two planets sparked by this new 2-year cycle. So, before I go any further on what this means, on what is possible, on how this relates to the previous years, see, I mentioned 2013 and 2015, it'd be nice if you thought about what exactly was going on with you. Who were you dating? What was happening? How was your sex life? How was your money? What were your feelings? What were your values then that are undoubtedly different now because we've all gone through some level of transformation, whether we liked it or not. We've had so many transits over the past, 4 or 5 years, that we are undoubtedly different people than we were then. But what in that cycle? What occurred within that cycle that may be something you want to pay attention to? Or you may already be feeling elements of that particular time period starting to crop up for you yet again, because we are getting closer and closer and closer to Venus and Mars meeting each other at that exact point in the sky. So let's stop here. You know what I like you to do. Get your birth chart, get a notepad, and we are going to take a little trip down memory lane. So think about the last 4 years or so. Think about your 2013 to 2015 cycle. Especially 2015, because we had a lot of transitions in that year in particular. And 2015 is a big year to note. And so think about what was happening. What were you doing? Who were you with? Who was in your life then that may or may not be in your life now? All of that matters when we're discussing this cosmic cycle, because here is, similar to retrogrades, an opportunity for us to reset, reevaluate, rethink, and recharge that area of stagnation in our life related to those Venus and Mars themes. If this aspect has any relationship to your natal planets and your natal Venus and Mars, this is another powerful point of stimulation for you on a personal level. So while we all may be feeling it on a cosmic level and as a community, because we're all sharing this experience, some of us are going to really see the shakeup in our day-to-day life, and it may just be the shakeup you've been looking for. Now, if any of this feels overwhelming to you, Whether you've been studying astrology for a very long time or you're just getting into it because it is literally everywhere and everyone is paying just a little bit more attention to the sky than they have been over the past 10 to 20 years, and you have your internet astrologers, you have your old school astrologers, you have multiple methods of looking at the cosmos, and you are just completely overwhelmed, look at it this way. Astrology is the science of cycles and stories. Look at your life and look at these transits from the cycles they initiate and the stories that come from these cycles. So when we look at Venus and Mars together, the cosmic union, what we are highlighting is the story of your love life, the story of your relationship to money and resources that you govern, that you were able to sustain for yourself. We are looking at the song or the dance or the story of your value system and what expands or narrows that system. We're looking at the story and the cycle of your sense of security. We are looking at the story and the song and the dance of your sexual evolution, the way you express yourself sexually and what you are attracted to. And with both of those planets, we are definitely looking at the cycle and storyline of what you may be attracted to now that you may not have been attracted to in the past. We're looking at your relationship to play, to creativity, your relationship to children and energy that is innocent. That is the story that we are unfolding through the various transits in the sky. And Venus and Mars in particular have a commitment and a devotion to these themes, right? Every transit can play a role, right? You're definitely Saturn and Uranus, the squares that are happening in 2021. Of course, they play a role in your relationships because they are navigating the cycle and the story of security and order versus spontaneity and change. Do I stay and do what I've always been doing? Or do I move and shift my understanding of the world? Do I feel like this is the right foundation, or do I need to blow this foundation up and start over? That's the story that Uranus and Saturn, they are unfolding for all of us. And so Venus and Mars, they have entered the chat. They are also here with a story, right? Are we in this transformation, in this transition, in this discussion of should I hold fast to my routine, my structure? Should I hold fast to my boundaries? Or should I break free from the self-inflicted boundaries and create change in my life? In between that, Venus and Mars are saying, well, let's take that same energy and apply it to our interpersonal relationships, to our internal value system around ourselves, and to the very basic primal needs of the human experience. If we look at this from a Maslow's hierarchy of needs perspective, Mars is covering all of that base of the pyramid. Food, clothing, shelter, sex, expression, creativity, birth, right? And Venus takes that same energy and pulls it up into the heart. So then we're talking about things like valor. We're talking about things like romance, softness, emotions, empathy, how we enjoy life, how we seek bliss in life, what we open our hearts and our souls and our third eye and our consciousness to. And so together, they represent that alchemy, that yin and that yang, that primordial masculine and feminine, that ability to feel and embrace emotionally and sensually in a physical way, and how we leverage that energy for fuel and drive. So just the way we consume food, right? We consume food and it's delicious and it is palatable and it is decadent. Our body at the end of the day, after we have that sensory experience, our body has to use that food for fuel. So the love and the passion that we intake from our lives, that we experience from the Venus perspective, Mars converts into energy, into inspiration, into what gets us up and gets us out every single day. And when they're doing this in our charts all the time, but when they have the opportunity to come together to be the divine Shiva, to the divine Shakti. When they have that opportunity to merge together as that single energy, a heartbeat gets created in the chart. And that heartbeat, we get to see the flow. We get to see that EKG for the next 2 years. We get to see that. We get to see that rhythm. We get to see that heart rhythm for about a two and some change year cycle. Now, that rhythm between July 12th and July 13th is going to be in the space of Leo, the primordial child, the primordial, you know, lover of love, the primordial lover of fun and celebration. Leos love love. They love to be in love. They love to give love. They love to feel love. They are ruled by the sun. So anything that gives them warmth and any capacity that they have to give warmth to others, they're all over it. Leos are inherently childlike. And when I say that, I don't mean immature. I mean that they understand what it's like to live as a child, to be free, to be unafraid of falling, to be unafraid, period. In a world where we have so much fear around each other, around relationships, and I'm not talking about anything really pandemic related. I'm talking about our baseline interactions with each other socially and how we connect. There's been a lot of fear in our connection, in really letting ourselves be vulnerable, getting to know ourselves, getting to know other people. And this predates the pandemic. And so when you are in that childlike state and you watch children, they have no judgment of themselves or anyone else. We as adults teach them that. They have no perception of boundaries and rules and what it means to do something right or wrong. We teach them that. They are existing in pure freedom. And Leos represent that pure childlike freedom where the actions that are performed are for the greatest expression of pleasure and the greatest expression of love and devotion. Now, with everything light, there is a shadow side, right? What happens to little kids when they go off the rails? They can get hurt. What happens to little kids when they don't mind their behavior? They can be offensive. They can do something that gets them in trouble, right? And so the same energy applies to adults. When you lean too much into that Leo energy, you become someone who is self-indulgent, self-centered. You begin making decisions and operating in a space where your needs are met and no one else's. So wherever the sun shines for you, it is cold to someone else. You begin to act in a way that shows no regard for the people around you, your tribe, your community, or all of the interdependencies that will be undoubtedly impacted by your actions. And so there will be an intense focus on how we exalt the best parts of Leo without causing harm, taking our own little internal Hippocratic oath where we do no harm. How do we exist in play? How do we exist in fun, but be protective of each other as well? How do we protect our tribe and ourselves as we re-immerse ourselves in freedom and what freedom means on an individual level? This is an important shift, and it will feel like a shift, right? You may be thinking to yourself, well, I feel like my love life, my money has been going on the same pattern. It's like been the same rodeo. It's been the same roller coaster ride for a few years now. And so I'm not sure if I'm going to feel this or if any of this is going to matter to me. Well, there is a reason for that. The previous Venus and Mars conjunctions over the past 3 2-year cycles, right? So late 2015 to 2017, 2017 to 2019, and 2019 to 2021, right? Which will culminate in July. Those last three Venus and Mars conjunction kickoffs have been in the same sign. And that sign is Virgo. Okay? Due to the retrograde cycles of both of the planets, and they're both on their own cycles, they also both stay in a sign at different rates. And so sometimes they go in the zodiac order and sometimes they don't. But what is important to note is that due to that fluctuation of the cosmos, sometimes they bounce around the same sign in a given period. And for us, that sign has been Virgo. So the way we have approached those very Venusian and Martian themes that we've mentioned has been with a Virgo mindset, eye set, perception, relationship. And what possibly could that have looked like? Well, if you think about the energy of Virgo, it's a highly intellectual sign. It's ruled by Mercury along with Gemini. So highly intellectual, extremely generous and self-sacrificing, very meticulous. These are all the light sides. What's the shadow? The shadow is someone who is overly critical, someone who is easily taken advantage of and has a hard time setting boundaries, someone who may have difficulty making a hard decision about anything. When a Virgo is off balance and out of whack, they're not as strong. They're easily swayed. They become very reclusive because they're not sure what the world looks like. And instead of testing out whether they have the strength or the willpower to be within the world or to protect themselves from people that would take advantage of them, they would rather lock themselves away. When you have someone with a strong Virgo presence in their chart, being reclusive, being to themselves, it's a natural quality. Pre-pandemic, they were here for it. When you have someone who is evolved in their Virgo nature, they have the capacity to set the right boundaries. The opposite or counterpart to Virgo is Pisces. So Virgo and Pisces share a core, and the core is generosity, sacrifice, and the healing of others. When either one of those signs are taken advantage of, it is a problem. But how each sign reacts to that issue is very different. Where Pisceans may sink into their emotions and cocoon themselves in their feelings, Virgos will sink into their emotions and cocoon themselves in a structure, notably their home or at work, in order to shield themselves from that which would cause them any more harm. So take all that conceptualization around Virgo and apply it to the energy within your money, within your relationships, within your feeling of values and self-worth, within your wounds. Take that and apply that energy and think about what has happened to you and what you have experienced between the fall of 2015 to now. I know for me personally, my interpersonal relationships have been very cerebral. I found myself attracted to and entertaining relationships that were highly intellectual, very cerebral. The arguments were less passion-driven and more discussion-driven. There was always a need to rationalize feelings. Sometimes I couldn't even help myself. It just ended up that way. When it comes to my own feelings of value and self-worth, being very keenly aware when someone was taking more from me than they were giving to me. In years prior, I probably would have chopped it up to, well, this is who I am, right? I am a giver, I am a healer, this is what I do. And not keeping score. And over those past couple of years, I found myself marking scores, right? Like you're taking a tally. And I found myself, whether mentally or sometimes even physically, keeping score. Very Virgo, right? And this attitude and this approach applied not to everything. It was applied in a very strategic way to my interpersonal relationships, to thinking about how I spent my money, who I spent my money on, what did I give to people, what did I get back. So it was only applied in very specific situations. And upon deeper reflection, those situations tie back into Venus and Mars. And I was given, like all of us, three opportunities and three separate cycles to work through those injuries or those gains, right? And understanding who I am and what matters most to me and my core values. What's also important to note about that 2015 process of the Venus and Mars conjunction in Virgo is that the Venus and Mars conjunction in Virgo was not doing this work alone. Because across from them in Pisces, where these conjunctions would have been in opposition, that astrological aspect and relationship of being in opposition, those two planets at multiple points in time were in opposition to Chiron in Pisces, in opposition to Neptune in Pisces. And so that added even more intensity to the transits, because we are activating these conjunctions in direct opposition, or at least a close orb opposition to the wounded healer, bringing up all our old shit, bringing up all the wounds we don't like to talk about and we don't like to deal with, where the people and individuals that we are meeting from on an intellectual level are also ones that are conjuring up feelings of our past, of our childhood, making us and kind of forcing us on a cerebral level to engage with that part of our brain we like to block away. And in addition to that, we have Neptune coming into the forefront, creating a sense of expansion in that relationship and hopefulness when it comes to financial wealth, but equally an elusiveness where it felt like you met people out of nowhere and then they slipped away for no good reason. I love how ghosting has become such a thing, because ghosting is a very Neptunian thing. One minute that person's here, one minute that person's not. And yes, we have ghosting in families and we have ghosting in friendships, but many people complain about it in a very specific case, which is your intimate relationships and your partnerships. When you're trying to engage in a relationship with someone and that person ghosts, or you are the person who is ghosting. And so the idea that every single time those two planets merged in Virgo, they had to contend with Chiron, who was there to activate wounds in the Venusian and Martian attitudes. And then we also have Neptune creating this elusive, expansive, but yet tricky nature around the partnerships that we were getting into. Because it's all connecting, right? Not to mention, in each of those different 2015, 2017, and 2019 intervals, the years had their own planets of significance, right? 2017 was a huge year for planetary shifts. It was a huge year. And so you have all of the other energies of that year, in addition to this very specific tie-in between Venus, Mars, Neptune, and Chiron for almost 6 years, a little under 6 years. And so that's a lot to kind of pull together when you think about it. And so if you felt like you just really couldn't hold on to your relationships, or you felt like despite every argument that you had on an intellectual level, you two were getting nowhere, or if you felt like you were being very, very careful with your money and your investments and being diligent and meticulous, there was still a loss, or there was still an unexpected gain, even though you dotted every I, crossed every T, regardless of how practical you wanted to become as a person, and you know that Virgo energy of wanting to get your shit together, for some reason it just never got it together, even with your best efforts and your best intentions. It's because Venus and Mars they weren't the only ones at their wedding. There were other planets there too that had a say, that had an objection, that raised their hand, and that contributed to how those two planets navigated their themes and their relationship over the course of those years. So we've been in that energy for a very long time. So if year after year and 2 year cycle after 2 year cycle, you didn't feel like anything moved, that made sense. That was not by accident. right? If you felt like everything was moving in spite of the fact it being in Virgo, and Virgo being a mutable sign, one that is okay with change, but one, a sign that is also one that likes to ground as an earth sign. And you felt like you did everything to welcome change, but yet create stability for yourself, and it wasn't enough. Well, you know, Neptune may be to blame for that. And so we have that energy here. And with knowing where you've been over the past few years, once we hit this conjunction in Leo, there's no doubt in my mind that it is going to feel new. It is going to feel like a renewal. It is going to feel like a reset. It is going to feel the way we feel when planets go direct and you're like, oh, okay, I can start over. I have no doubt that it will feel that way, and that there will be some cosmic signal that something is different, that something has changed, that something is important that was not important before or that you did not see before. With Virgo, we have the capacity to be meticulous, but also very critical. So if your relationship with yourself or with others has felt very critical over the past couple of years, you felt judged, you judged yourself, every mistake you made, you felt like you were a loser, every mistake they made, you felt like they weren't good enough, the whole shebang. There's cosmic energy that supported that. If those are default energies of yourself, hey, they were exacerbated. If they weren't default in you and you just felt this inclination to gravitate towards that energy, that is cosmic, by cosmic design. The blessings that come out of this Virgo period, though, is the capacity to pay attention. What I can see from people, even now, coming out of the cycle, individuals that I'm doing charts for, I see them having such a clear, crystal clear understanding of what they want for their life, of who they want to be with, of what matters to them in relationship, of what matters to them about themselves, what is most important about who they are, in a way that they could not perceive having before. Going through the wounding and the unearthing of wounds with Chiron and in the conversation, seeing and being shown the elusive qualities of Neptune and how easy things can come and go in your life, all of that propelled each and every one of us over at least the past 5 or 6 years to get real sharp and real clear, real fast about who we are, what we want, what inspires us, what our resources should look like, where we should stop screwing up, where we need to really get our shit together, where we need to really get focused and get energized, where we need to stop playing and where we don't play enough. So that when a transit like the one coming up in Leo comes along, we can play. We worked hard. Now we get to play hard. Now the storm gets to break a little bit, so we can enjoy the fruits of the labor and enjoy them for enjoyment's sake. So this is a beautiful time to start and maybe even to end something peacefully, but to renew any stagnated aspects within the Mars and Venus ecosystem. This is an opportunity for that cosmic dance. And it's an opportunity to watch the individuals that come into your life, the individuals that you love and seek to connect with, that may be very different than what you were gravitating for in the past. And that's okay. That's okay. And equally, existing relationships. Maybe you have been in a rut for a while. Maybe it's gotten a little too comfortable. Maybe you two need an opportunity to see each other in a different light. Or maybe both of you are realizing that this isn't the way. Maybe you've overanalyzed it enough and you need to simply drop into your heart like any good old-fashioned Leo and simply live from what feels good and what doesn't feel good. Forget all the talking. Forget all the big words. Forget all the multisyllabic conversations. Does it feel good? Does it make me feel good? Does it make me money? Does it not make me money? Am I enjoying myself? Am I not enjoying myself? Does this reflect my values? Does it not reflect my values? Does it make me feel fun and free, or does it inhibit my freedom? That's it. Very black and white, very cut and dry. And without getting too stubborn, allowing yourself to be firm. There's a very big difference between stubborn and steadfast. And so if you can leverage the Leo energy to be steadfast in what makes you happy and what you value and what you need and your basic needs, that's very different than being resistant, than creating coldness in places where there should be light. And so take your mastery from the Virgo conjunctions. Take your mastery from that era. Take that slipping in and slipping out of consciousness. Take that slipping in and slipping out of thought process and drop that into your heart and be steadfast, be unwavering in a way that makes sense for your well-being and does no harm to anyone around you. That is the point of the conjunction, so that we can be happy and childlike and sweet and fun and have fun. And we need a little bit of fun. We need the storms to break, and they're breaking. So enjoy them. In a similar way that we looked at the Virgo conjunctions of Venus and Mars, we have to take a look at the same layer of influences with the Venus and Mars conjunction in Leo. We know that events within the sky do not happen in a silo. They touch something, they invite other energy, they pull in other houses. You can see that in how that conjunction is aspected by other planets within your own personal birth chart, and equally how it is aspected by planets that are presently in the sky on their own timeline, conducting their own story, their own cycle, and their own evolution. So Venus and Mars will be conjunct at 19 degrees. And so at the time of that conjunction, we do not have another planet or celestial body at 19 degrees. We do, however, have planetary entities that are close enough for me. So they are close enough for me to have an opinion. They're either watching from across the street, they're either passing by in a car. They are close enough for me to have some level of influence. And so I think it's important that we acknowledge them for their existence, because they are going to have some level of participation in this event. The three that speak out to me the absolute most in this particular timeline are the presence of Uranus in Taurus, which at the time of the conjunction, Uranus will be at 14 degrees of Taurus, Saturn sitting in Aquarius, retrograde at 11 degrees, and the South Node in Sagittarius at 9 degrees. Now, if you heard the numbers, right, we have the Venus-Mars conjunction at 19. We have Uranus and Taurus at 14, so that's a 5-degree difference. We have Saturn in Aquarius at 11, so that's an 8-degree difference. And then we have a 10-degree difference between the South Node in the sign of Sagittarius. That's a 10-degree difference between the conjunction. So for some of you, you're like, well, that none of that matters. They're not close. They're not on top of each other. I beg to differ. I believe in occupation, let alone percentages or tight orbs or wide orbs. I think when we're dealing with something like the South Node, Saturn, and Uranus, you can be a little bit more generous, right? Because even with some of the generous orbs between the Venus and Mars conjunction in Virgo, and the three times we had those conjunctions occur over the past 5.5-6 years or so, we didn't always have Neptune or Chiron on the exact point, but they sure did influence the motion of that ocean, the closer they got to the exact point of conjunction. So we can still see the influence of Neptune and the influence of Chiron when the Virgo and Mars conjunctions were happening in Virgo, even if we didn't have that exact opposition at that exact moment. And so I think sometimes we can get a little too crazy about the exact or the orb size. Depending on the size of the planet, its power can be felt almost immediately, no matter how far away they are from each other. We are seeing that now with Jupiter and Neptune in Pisces. Jupiter is at the, 2 degree mark right now? Neptune is in the, 23rd degree mark? That's a very, very wide orb, right? That's a 21 degree separation. And yet, as soon as Jupiter entered into Pisces, it felt like the waters began to pulse and that Neptunian energy was sparked, because he knew that his cosmic anchor of Jupiter had entered into the home. They had entered into the Pisces realm. So even though they are nowhere near each other and will not be until the middle of 2022, that energy can still be felt and was felt by many, many people as Jupiter entered into Pisces, okay? And influencing that Neptunian energy that was already there. And so I tend to be a little bit more generous with the orbs when we deal with the outer planets. And so I think Uranus's influence and Saturn's influence and the South Node's influence are one to note. When looking at Uranus first, well, we've spoken a lot about Uranus this year and last year. And so you know what it's doing. It's shaking up the very foundation of the mighty fixed sign of Taurus, making Tauruses do things they thought they would never do, creating instability and opportunity in places they thought they would never, ever see. Talk about a change and a restructuring of their values. What I find interesting about Uranus is in a sign currently. It's in Taurus. And that's a sign that so many other planets find so much more comfortable. But yet for Uranus, it's boundaries, right? Because Uranus likes to shake things up and tear things apart and create opportunity where walls exist. And so the Tauruses are seeing their worlds begin to change, and they may find that energy disruptive. Whereas in a sign of Leo or in a sign of Aries or Sagittarius, Uranus is much more excited, right? Anywhere that Uranus can be, and Uranus can be free to make change because the sign is very receptive to that energy, Uranus is happy. So I find it interesting that Uranus is in Venus's ruling sign, right? So Venus rules Taurus, and Uranus is in Taurus. And Uranus would be a lot more comfortable in Leo than in Taurus, even though they're both fixed signs. But Venus is essentially watching from a distance her home sign become dismantled through the eyes and the work of Uranus, consistently creating chaos and change. And so with the square, again, 5 degrees is close to me, close enough for me, between the Venus and Mars conjunction in Leo squared that Uranus and Taurus, it sparks an invitation for change. It sparks a softening, potentially, of the blow that Uranus is consistently employing within the sign of Taurus. It presents an opportunity to really reformulate and re-stimulate the aspects of Venus. Uranus is already doing that in Venus's home, right? He's already redecorating the house. He already blew out the backyard. He's already onto the landscaping. He's redesigned the furniture. He is changing things left and right. And now, through this square, he gets to show her what he's done. He gets to help her feel comfortable with the change. It's kind of like when we see those HGTV shows and the owners of the house are really excited to get the renovation done, and they let the interior designers and the construction workers, and they let them do what they need to do. And then the great reveal happens, and you either have the most emotionally positive reaction or you have the most emotionally devastated reaction. And so what is now the responsibility of the folks that did the makeover? They have to help the owners see how important, how necessary, and how beautiful the changes actually are, and how they do meet the goals of what they wanted in the first place. And so that is what Uranus is going to be able to do finally for Venus with this square. Uranus is also going to get some help from Mars, because Mars and Uranus understand each other. They're two planets that make sense. They're two planets that like movement. They like change. They're not afraid of the volatility of growth. They actually thrive in it. So Mars is able to look at Venus and say, honey, look, it's going to be okay. Look how great it could be. Look how amazing it can be if you just let go. If you just move in this direction, if you just look at this from a place of opportunity as a place of loss, instead of a place of loss. Mars is there to support Uranus in this conversation with Venus about, here's what I am doing with your home. And here you get to see at least part of it. You get to see what I'm working on. You get to see what I'm trying to do here. So when you do get back here, it'll be an even more powerful place than you could have imagined before. Your home is amplified. Your home is more beautiful, more instinctive, more sensual, but you have to let me do the work. You have to let me do me. You have to help me help you. And Mars is there to help Venus, to help her understand why this is important. And so that's an interesting interplay where we may have that opportunity to make a choice to choose the path that may be antithetical to Leo, because we want to see something greater happen for our lives and for ourselves, for our values, for our security, for our hearts, and for our spirit. When we swing around and we see how Saturn in Aquarius, the counterpart of Leo, is sitting in retrograde at 11 degrees, it'd be easy to say, well, you know, Saturn's not really involved in the conversation. I'd like to think of Saturn in this position as that neighbor who lives across the street, who always watches out their window in the morning to make sure you got into your car safely, or to make sure that you are safe and protected if you're waiting at a bus stop. They're not going to interfere right away, but they are watching. They're the neighbors or the grandparents that are sitting on the porch, just watching the kids play. Not disciplining them outright, but ensuring that the children know that there is an elder present. And so you better act accordingly. That elder will let you go as so far, up until the point where you could be a danger to yourself or a danger to others. And so I think that is a beautiful thing, given the shadow side of Leo, where Leos have a tendency to make decisions or to choose pathways that can put others in harm's way, even if it is a decision that brings them happiness, that brings them pleasure. They don't want to intentionally harm anyone, but they are so committed to their own happiness that they simply don't care. And they believe that it is their divine right, being children of the sun, for them to have that joy. And so Saturn is there to ensure that we remember our commitment to our community, that we remember our responsibility to other humans, and that we think about our decisions before we make them. And if we are still comfortable to move forward, we understand that there could be consequences and that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And the last important celestial button I want to press is the South Node in a fire sign house. And actually, there's two fire sign, there's actually four celestial points here. I actually missed one. I missed a big one. I missed the Chiron and Aries. So before I get into the South Node, I'm going to double back and go back into Aries. So we have Chiron and Aries, which is currently direct. Chiron being the wounded healer, Chiron helping us in Aries redefine our sense of self, our sense of oneness, our sense of who we are and who we want to be. How do we define ourselves? What is our place in the world? And so we have this beautiful trine between the conjunction between Mars and Venus and this Chiron. Now, Chiron is actually at 12 degrees. So again, some of you might be like, well, that's too wide of an orb. Not for me. Not for me. I don't care. It's still close enough for me. Close enough for Chiron to have a say. Close enough for Chiron to be influential. We saw Chiron and Neptune be extremely influential in the Virgo transits, and rarely did they meet up on the exact point. And so we have to consider how these major outer celestial bodies have a deep influential nature, as opposed to the ones closer to us, where we need it to be a bit tighter for the effect to be felt. So Chiron and this beautiful conjunction, this beautiful alchemy, is infusing so much of that healing energy. So many of us have been wounded in love. So many of us have done things or experienced things or involved ourselves with people or places or situations, or have simply made all the best efforts and made, you know, what they felt like was the best decision and the right decision, and feeling wounded by the entire process. And so much of that for the past 5 or 6 years was in the mind. And we had to tackle that on a psychological level and on an intellectual level. And so Chiron comes in and helps to invite some healing power. And I say invite some healing versus, you know, stir up some problems or stir up some wounds, because of the trine nature, which is an easier flowing energy. It doesn't mean completely without trouble, but it means that the energies understand each other. Venus and Mars, they understand what Chiron is here to do. And they are inviting Chiron into this conversation. Chiron is a welcome guest at this ceremony, because what is within Chiron is the ability to heal the past. It is the ability to make peace with what was, so that we can open the doors for what may be. And so having that dynamic in relationship to the South Node that's in Sagittarius, these points are opening up the pathway for us to heal the past, for us to heal the past, for us to come to terms and come to wholeness and come to sweetness about the past, so that we can journey on this 2-year cycle from a position of strength, not a position of sadness or despair or regret or the feeling of grief or guilt. All of those attributes are important in the healing process, but they can be debilitating and diminishing if they stay too long. And so with the South Node's capacity to help us release so that we can move forward, and the healing energy of Chiron infusing in this partnership so that we can make peace with what happened, it was okay. You were a different person at that time. You were a different version of yourself at that moment. The world was a different place, and you thought you were doing what was right at the time that you did it. You thought you were making the right decision. You thought you were choosing the right person. You thought you were letting go of someone that needed to be let go of. You thought that you were managing your money and your finances in the right way. You thought you chose the right job. You thought it was the place for you. You thought the home that you lived in was the perfect place. You really went into it with your best efforts. And a lot of it had to do with the efforts in your mind. You thought, you thought, you thought, you thought, you thought. Chiron is coming into this conversation, anchoring into the South Node, even from a distance, saying, release what you thought. Reset yourself into how you feel. Accept the past for what it was. Thank it for what it gave to you. allow it to be what it was, make peace with that pain, forgive yourself, forgive anyone else that needs it, take the lessons from the Virgo transits, and allow this resurgence of energy between Mars and Venus, the divine Shiva, to the divine Shakti, the yin, to the yang. Allow this merging of energy to create newness in your life. Allow Saturn to help you remain focused and responsible. And allow Uranus to create the space you need. Do that with grace and with love and forgiveness so that you can begin anew. And that is it, my beautiful darlings. I think about all the work that we as individuals have been collectively and individually focusing on. If I look back at all of the recordings I've done over the past year, year and a half, there's definitely this consistent theme of the universe trying to get us to focus and dig deep. And it makes sense because years prior, we've been kind of self-indulgent. We've been a bit self-centered and a bit externally focused. And so we had to get a bit of a kick in the ass, and we had to go deep. And we had to get deep, and we had to be honest and true about who we are and what we want and about how we are living that purpose or not. And so every single transit has played a role in showing us that in the complexity of our lives. But I do feel like at times you have to take a step back and give yourself a high five, a slow clap, a hug, for how far you've come and how much progress you've made, and that the universe is not against us as individuals and as a collective entity enjoying that progress. And so when I see a conjunction of this type, and I see the sign that it's in, and I see the era that it is occurring, I say to myself, well, that's the universe trying to get us to stop and smell the roses, even if it's for a moment, even if it's for a blip in time. We're being asked to take stock of the work that we've done and the energy that we've put forth in spite of the chaos of the world, to make right our choices, to make right ourselves. And so I want you all to feel the energy, because I do feel a little bit of it. I do feel a little bit of spiciness and extroversion and connection, and I think it is blending well with people wanting to be outside and being immersed in each other's lives again, and us being so far away from the human experience, being able to connect with that again and feeling the connection from others. I think the Leo energy is so excited and so expanded in this capacity and wanting to kind of hug the world in this way, even if it's not physically. So I think that this is a good time to just take a minute from the healing process. Take a lunch break, take an extended break to simply enjoy what you've been able to build and construct in your life by taking the time and all of the preceding transits to do the work. So enjoy this time, enjoy this moment, allow this transit to happen for you, to happen to you, and let the joy that you created enjoy that, because it is happening because of you too. You are co-creating. And enjoying that co-creation is something the universe also favors at this time. So again, I am your loving and illustrious host, Siobhan, owner of Sweet Immunity. So excited to be here for another episode of Healing in Doses, another episode filled with cosmic magic and healing medicine. If you'd like a deeper dive into your individual energy, a more immersive experience for yourself, you are more than welcome to reach out to me. connect with me via email at sweetimmunity@gmail.com. That again is sweetimmunity@gmail.com. I love a good inquiry. I love the beautiful feedback. I love the inspiration. I love the knocks on my proverbial door when I've been on a hiatus for too long. I love it. 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 And I appreciate each and every one of you who take the time out to listen and who take the time out to hear it and allow it to immerse in your spirit. So, as always, my darlings, be very kind, loving, open, and trusting of the universe. Because the universe is here to be kind, loving, open, and trusting to you. Till next time, my darlings. Bye.